You know, isn't it amazing how the Lord often reveals things to us and we just don't get it? And sometimes it's because of our own agendas, because our own schemes. The disciples had often thought that Christ was going to come, the Messiah was going to come, and set up His kingdom. And that's what their mindset was. We're going to see how that kind of unfolds in the dialogue this morning. And so they were so tuned on Christ was going to be king. He was going to kick out Rome and He was going to establish His kingdom and how they were going to serve and be part of this new kingdom here on earth. Jesus dying didn't fall into that plan. And so they did oftentimes what we do is when we hear things that we don't want to hear, we tune them out. And so here in Matthew chapter 20, the story unfolds, and we're going to start in verse 20 and kind of go through this a little bit. But in here, each part of this, as we start talking about as Christ is going to the cross, sort of the lessons along the way, and the lesson here is really the idea of servitude, of being a servant. And what I want to do is each one of these weeks, actually give you, I don't know, homework is really the term, because I mentioned homework and people are like, I don't want to do homework. So I want to give you some things you can do at home to kind of put your feet into action, especially as we come into Easter, of really becoming a participant of all this. And each day come on and start preparing our heart to really the fact. I mean, and we're getting the Palm Sunday where Christ came in victorious and hail the King to Good Friday where Christ died. Where all these things really come together that for you and for me, the really the cost of our sin and our redemption was His death. To find the resurrection and the hope that we have here. And so for us as Christians, as we come on sort of this period in the calendar, really has so much to really stir in us. And I just want you to kind of sit back and kind of just coast through, but really be a participant in it. So I have some things where I really try to encourage you to do some practical steps along the way. But in here, in Matthew, starting in chapter 20, starting at verse 17, Christ starts off here. It says now, let's see, actually I have this up on the screen. It says now, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed by the chief priests and to the scribes, and he will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be scourged, to be crucified, and on the third day will rise again. Now things, picture in the disciples' mind, things are going well. Multitudes, thousands of people are coming and following Jesus. Everywhere he goes, people come up and bring the sick and the lame and touch us and teach to us and all these things. As far as ministry goes, we would say things are going well. And the disciples are just, woohoo! Finally, things are happening. We've had struggles with the religious leaders of the day. And they were so strict and so domineering and so self-righteous, these religious leaders were. And really trying to keep the people under their thumb. And Jesus came in and preached love and deliverance and freedom from that. And I imagine some people along the line were like, yeah, Jesus, give it to them. Right? And the Bible says here that as they were walking up towards Jerusalem. Now this is just a little side bit. If you look at your map, actually Jesus is traveling south. And for us, we usually say you're going down, right? You go down to Virginia, right? Well, they didn't have a map in front of them. And Jerusalem is actually up on a hill. So anytime anyone's going to Jerusalem, it's always up. Because you're going uphill. That's a little freebie there for you. So every time you see people going to Jerusalem, it doesn't matter where they're coming from, they're always going up to Jerusalem because it's uphill. But here as they are on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus, in the middle of all this, out of the blue, tells them, I'm going to get there, and they're going to arrest me. You're going to kill me. And I will rise again on the third day. This is big news. Now, this is probably the third time Jesus has told them, and each time they didn't get it. And guess what? This time, they still didn't get it. You know, I imagine the reaction should have been. I mean, you turn around through and you know, what happens when someone that you know tells you, I'm going to die? What? Right? On the level of importance, that gets up on the top of the list really quick. And I'm just kind of blown away that the disciples just didn't even get it. Because we start picking up in verse 20, it says, then the mother of the Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to them, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. So put these two statements together, right? Jesus says, we're going up here, I'm going to die. And James and John come up and say, hey, you know what? Can we have the right hand on your throne? Can we your right hand, left hand man? Do you see the disconnect? Now Mark tells us that John and James came up and asked, and Matthew gives a little insight, says his mom. These aren't a contradiction. So either James and John went first and said, hey, Jesus, can we have this? And they didn't get the answer they wanted, so they sent mom. Or they're all sitting around together and they all kind of are in cahoots together. Matthew brings up the idea that mom went up there, which for a full-grown man is really encouraging to have your mom come fight your battles for you. Right? I think we went through this in Mark, next door on Bible study on Sunday night, and I shared a story about when we were in Bible school, one of our teachers, she had her son go down to Marine boot camp. And she goes, pray for my son because he's kind of fragile. You know, he can't eat a lot of different foods. They upset his stomach and you know, getting up early, and he needs to get lots of rest. And she goes, pray for him while he's down there. Well, about a week or so goes by, he's down in boot camp, and she comes in, she goes, yeah, she goes, pray for him down there. He goes, he's kind of upset with me because I called his commanding officer down there and told him to take it easy on him. You know, be careful, he gets good food because he's got a real sensitive tummy, and you know, he getting up early doesn't do well for him, and so just take it easy on him. And you know, fast forward another week, and she goes, really pray for my son because he's not answering my phone calls anymore. And he's like, Mom, stop! Because they're, you know... But I've never been to boot camp. But she said, yeah, he goes, in here, they had a soldier cut his food up in little pieces and feed it to him. And because he couldn't get up something, everyone else had to do it for him. And so they have this whole situation, right? Send Mom in. And so she's sharing all this. And he's, you know, he's like, Mom, leave me alone. So I just picture this scene where, you know, James and John are... Think about this. They're asking to be like the president and vice president, right? We want to be on the right and hand, left side, but we're going to have our mom come fight for us. That really seems to go really well. But what a disconnect. Jesus is like, I'm going to go and I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be dead. And all they're thinking about is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And Jesus goes on and shares here that, look, he's come to serve. And I want you to take a look here because in verse 24, Right? Jesus goes through this little bit of a dialogue up until this. He goes, look, are you able to take my cup and do it? What he says is, look, do you understand what I'm going to go through? Do you think you can go through what I'm going to go through? And of course they're like, yeah, we can do that. Well, they have no clue. And Jesus does tell them, look, you guys are going to go through. James ends up being killed. A martyr for the faith. John ends up in Patmos and arrested and tortured for his faith. So Jesus tells him, look, it's not going to be an easy road for you. Right? But you don't know what you're asking. But look at the when Jesus comes down in verse 24, right? Because this is in a vacuum. As they're traveling down to Jerusalem, Jesus is walking. You have James's and John's moms there kind of saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, my boy. James and John are there saying, hey, can we sit here? Right? All this is going on. But guess who's behind them? The other 10 disciples. Right? And they hear this all going on. And how do you think that goes over? Not good, right? Verse 24. It says, then when the 10 heard it, the other disciples, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. I love how the Bible kind of translates some of this stuff. They were greatly displeased. They were upset. Right? Oh, wait a minute. Why should you get the right hand? I should get the left hand. Right? Oh, why do you deserve it? I should. You know, I've given up more. I've done this. I've done that. How come? And everyone, all of a sudden, is all worried about themselves, totally missing the point that Jesus just told them what? What did Jesus just tell them? He was gonna help me out here. Don't make me work for this. Jesus was gonna die. Put the contrast of the total selflessness of Christ with the very selfish desires of the disciples. Aye, aye, aye. And it really comes down to this idea of who do we serve? Who do we serve? Who is it that has the top billing in our lives? Who is on the throne of our lives? And how that really affects us all. Because clearly, the disciples, they're serving themselves. Right? James and John were like, hey, we want the right hand and left hand. How about us? The disciples were upset. Why? Because they wanted those positions. Right? Oh, me too! Me! Right? Yeah, I just picture the scene as they're traveling down through. It must have been, you know, I remember we had five kids in the family. And we would all fit into we had a big Buick station wagon. Right? This is back before he needed all the seatbelts. You know, so we get three in the back seat and two would go way in the back and lay down. Right? Does anyone remember doing that kind of stuff? We all wanted to be in the back of the station wagon because you go around corners and guess what you do? You just go sliding all over the place back there. It was a blast. Sit back there and play with your toys and slide all over the place and of course things you can't do anymore. Right? But if one of us kids got something, guess what would happen in the back of that station wagon? Me too! Me! She got that! Right? You know, she found a Cheez-It, and she's not sharing it. I want a Cheez-It too. Right? I mean, it's like, me! And the disciples are like that. Jesus is like, hey guys, listen. We're heading up to Jerusalem. I want you to know, I should be prepared. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be scourged. You're going to kill me. But don't worry. I'm going to rise again. Yeah, but what about me? What about me? The Bible doesn't say it, but I imagine Jesus was just like, oh, And how many times I wonder in my life, God looks at me and He's trying to show me something, trying to work in me and something. And I am so stuck on. And I wonder how many times in my life God looks at me and says, will you ever get it? Because we are so good at serving ourselves. Putting ourselves on that throne. And look what happens as the result of all this, right? The disciples here, James and John, were being very selfish and being very self-centered. And the disciples heard this and they were very displeased, right? All of a sudden there's strife going on. Who do you think they are? Do you think Jesus loves them better? Right? All that division and all those strifing comes in. Actually, James tells us, when I serve myself, when I become the head of my life, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires and your pleasures? Is at war in your members? Right? When we get selfish, it causes strife. Whether it be in your home, right? As the husband, if I'm just selfish and self-centered, things will go well in the home. Within the church and those around me. If I'm just worried about myself, who's going to watch out for number one? It causes problems. It causes strifes. Second contrast is to serve God. Think about this. Jesus is going and dying. Do you remember what he says in the Garden of Gethsemane? He goes, if it's possible, let this pass over me. As Jesus was facing the cross, the crucifixion and all that was going on, right? Imagine the tremendous weight of all of that. That the world's sin was going to be put on him. That he would be separated from God the Father. All that was going on. And Jesus says, look, if there's any other way than this. But he says, yet not my will, but your will be done. That Jesus came to serve the Father. And in our lives, if we turn around and say, God, I will serve you. Romans chapter 12 starts off with, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When we turn around and say, God, I lay my life on the altar. And Lord, I give you my life. I will do what you want, and you can do what you want with me. Paul picks this up to the Corinthian believers. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. Folks, if you are here this morning, if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has bought you. And part of the deal is, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you wish. Your wish is my command. You know, because often our English Bibles often will translate doulos as the word servant. You know, we are the Lord's servant. We kind of like that, you know. I always picture sort of a Downton Abbey, you know. I'm here to serve, and how can I do this? And actually, the word doulos has much more the concept of slave. But that doesn't sound so good to our English ears. A slave. I'm no one's slave. Well, guess what? We are God's slave. See, servants have rights and privileges as time off and sick pay, right? Servants are all those things that we kind of want to go along with. But a slave has none of those things. So it bristles us if I were to say that we are slaves of God. But that's really the concept. The good news is He's a good master. Do we serve God and say, God, use me. What do you want me to do? I can lead out my life as a living sacrifice. I am not belonging to myself, but Lord, what do you want? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, uses a real wonderful concept. And this is something that I think all of us often come back to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In our lives, as we are struggling with things, and we are questioning things, folks, the first thing we should ask, God, am I putting you first? Am I putting you first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Put God on the throne. God, I will serve you. I will do what you want me to do. I'll be obedient to you. Draw me closer to you, God, and help me in these things. And then the Bible says, look, as I seek Him first, then everything else will start falling into place. I remember talking to someone and talking about, you know, Bible, the concept of watching out for number one isn't really a biblical concept. I said, give it over to God. I said, don't worry about watching out for number one. He goes, yeah, but if I do that, then who's going to watch out for me? Well, guess what? God will take care of you. Whoa. That's hard. That takes faith. As God works in our lives. God, I will put you first. I will seek you first. I'll do what you want. And Lord, let you put everything in its place as I serve you. Back in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, Jesus picks up where this is. So picture this scene. Jesus says, look, I'm going to go. I'm going to die. Disciples start bickering over who's be the greatest and who gets what positions. And Jesus says, whoa, 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 guys, hold on. Verse 25 says, but Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. For whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. Here they are, picture this scene of them bickering over, wait a minute, I should get the right hand. No, I should get the left. No, okay, give him the left hand. All right. And they're all jockeying for positions, all trying to watch out for number one. And Jesus says, boy, guys, come here. You know the Gentiles? You know those who are serving themselves? They bicker over who's the greatest. They bicker over power and authority. That's their thing. Right? They're the ones who enjoy that authority of having all those people underneath your thumb. You know what that's like, right? You know, you ever had a boss that just flexed his muscle or her muscle just a little too much just to show that they were the boss? Right? The arrogance and pride that goes along with those things. And Jesus turns to us and says, look, guys, that's not how it should be with you. See, we don't serve ourselves, we serve God. And one of the ways that really shows up is how we serve each other. How do we serve each other? Jesus flips things upside down. He says, you want to be great in God's kingdom? Become the least. Those who have power and authority, use it to serve and minister to those around you. Pastor, you've gone from preaching to meddling. That's really stepping on your toes type stuff. Paul shares along these lines in Philippians chapter 2. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. See, So what's not best for me? What is best for those around me? How can I minister to someone else? Peter talks about this. He says, each of you has received a gift. Right? Each one of us are unique. God has made us special. And we're not like everyone else. Right? My job is as pastor to say, oh, you need to be like me. That would be really scary. Right? I don't think normally. Right? I'm different from you, and that's okay. And this uniqueness about us specializes us to be used by God. Each one of us is gifted. And maybe it's talents and abilities. Maybe it's money and stuff. Maybe it's time, it's energy. All of us are unique to be used. But the problem is, I take these gifts, I take these things, and I use them for myself. And that's not what God gave them to us for. The gifts and abilities we have aren't for me. But as Peter says, as each of you received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. See, each one of us will be held accountable for what we do with the gifts God gives us. And we are not to use and squander those things for ourselves. But God gives these things within the body of Christ for us to minister and serve to each other. So real quick, I got 10 things. Right? This is the not homework, because people don't like that. These are things you can do at home. Ten practical ways. I found this list. 10 practical ways to serve someone today or this week or even between now and Easter. First one, help your family. Minister within your household. Minister with those that know you the most. And sometimes this is the hardest, isn't it? Because they know us. These are the people that get more suspicious than anything else. Because these are the people that know you. And all of a sudden, if you start being nice to them, they're going to say, okay, what's up? Right? They're going to say, okay, what do you want? And you say, no, nothing. The idea of all this is to do something without anything in return. Just be selfish in serving others. So start within the home. Now, I'm in trouble because my wife's here, you know. She's going to be checking, preach, you know, practice what you preach. But go out of your way and do something nice, unexpected, unasked for within your home or to your family. Seek out those opportunities because they're there all around. You know, guys, load up the dishwasher. I'm in trouble. You're writing this down, hon? Right? You know? Go out of your way and to serve and sacrifice. But start in the home. How about volunteer at church? Woohoo! Pastor, I know there's but say, here am I, Lord. We're told in 1 Corinthians that God has given gifts to the body of Christ for us to use. And I don't care if the church is a church of 10 or is a church of 5,000. There's always a shortage of people who are willing to serve. What can I do, Lord? And sometimes it's within the body. You know, we turn around and hear, you know, ask for volunteers. We need people in the nursery. We need people to help out in junior church. Vital ministries. So whether it's serving the food or whatever ministry there is around, there's so much that can be done if more people got involved. But not just within these four walls, or in case here, eight walls. We have two buildings here. But they turn around and say, you know what? How can I help those within the body? Because I'm a firm believer that, you know, the hour or 2 hours that we're here, this is just a fraction of what the church is. Church is a body of believers. It's a family. To come alongside. I, you know, I was thinking about this as here we have Natalie, one of our members, one of our family members who needs help. And the body here is great this way. I'm so pleased. Oftentimes I hear it. So-and-so gave so-and-so a call or sent a card or gave a word of encouragement. These are ways we minister within the body of Christ. Give something away. Now, it's interesting. I talk about this idea of taking something and giving someone something. Without any strings attached, without anything else. Here, Lord wants me to minister to you with this. And oftentimes what happens is sometimes we give away things that are no longer useful, right? I'm a missionary family that came to a church once, and they came and they shared about their work, and afterwards the deacons pulled them aside and said, "You know, we love impressed you with your work, but man, we're really, you know, couldn't you dress a little better?" And they're picking out because they were wearing clothes were worn and holes and all that, and they're like, "This is, you know," they're like, "You know, you really guys should have put on a best face." The minister here. And the guy turned around and said, "Oh," he goes, "this stuff?" He goes, "Oh, these are things that came in a care package from the church here. That just a month prior, they took a care package for the missionary family, and a lot of it was dirty and worn, and it was all past due, and people were like, 'Oh, well, I can either throw this away or give it to the missionary.' And they chose to give it to the missionary, and the missionary, you know, they chose to wear that through, and right? When I say do, give something that is the best, give something that is good, right? Give something away to someone. Maybe you see someone in need. Say, here, take this. Send someone an encouraging note. Now, this is not my strong point. The only person I really ever wrote to is my wife. Before we were married, she's got letters that I wrote to her over the years. I never wrote my mom. My wife tells me I'm a horrible son. I don't write people. And so a little jot, a little email, or something like that is wonderful and easy. Some of you guys are gifted with sending a note or sending a card and putting something in the mail. It is a blessing to receive some of those things. Right? You know, someone took the time to actually write something and put it in an envelope. Well, actually, I don't think you lick anything anymore. But turn around, seal it up, and put it off in the mail. It really means a lot. It could really make a blessing to someone. All right? How about deliver a meal? How about this? Watch someone's kids. There's no alternative motives in this. But sometimes young couples just need a time away together. Say, "Hey, you know what? I'm willing to watch their brats. I mean, their kids. Right? Help them out. Help other people to shine. Right? Maybe it's in your workplace or maybe those around you. Is there something I can do that would make someone else look better? Without getting the credit for it. Right? Come alongside and encourage someone. Support someone. Number 8, how about spending some time to listen? To listen to someone. You know, I'm amazing when you turn around and ask someone, "Hey, how you doing?" And you mean it. And willing to stop. Because we are such a go, 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 go. But to really stop and say, "Hey, what's up?" Just this past week, it's starting to get nicer out, so I like to wander the streets of Stockton. Right? And so I look forward to, you know, winter is cold, so I hunker up. But it gets nicer out. And I can't tell you how many times, and just this past week, I had an opportunity walking down the road and meeting up someone. "Hey, I haven't seen you since, you know, last fall," you know. And they're like, "Yeah," they're just walking out, and I say, "Oh, how you doing?" And I could tell. Things weren't right, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, it's fine." And I was like, "Really?" And all of a sudden, they just opened up. And halfway through, the guy is like, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I said, I think the Lord just wants you to let it out. And so he went and he talked, and we spent about 10 minutes there on the road just. And it was done. I said, can I pray for you? He goes, I'd love that. So right in the middle of the, well, over the side of the street, we prayed. 10 minutes is not a lot of time. And I didn't nearly have to even say anything because he just wanted to talk. And you'd be amazed how many people need someone to listen to them. Take an opportunity to listen. Got two more. Pay it forward. This is one of those simple little things. Turn around and pay for someone. Maybe you're at a restaurant, you see someone you know, pay for their meal without them knowing. Or maybe it's something that's selfish. You go through Dunkin' Donuts and say, you know the guy behind me, can I pay for their bill? Have you ever had that happen to them? We're going down through and it was like, you know what? Back before the Easy Pay, when we're in New York, there was a tollway. It was only like 50 cents to get through. And it became a really simple thing. You know, I'll pay for the person behind me. Right? Just these little acts of kindness. And often as when you do some of these things, people don't even know. Right? Pick up a cup of coffee and drop off for someone. You know, I'm just passing through and at one place, every once in a while, I'd pop through and I'd pick up a half dozen donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. Pull in and say, you know what, I'm just dropping this off. No one turns away donuts. I mean, I should write a book, Donut Evangelism, because people will take donuts. Right? Because what's the string? There's no string, just take it. Doing something small and just pay it ahead for someone else. They didn't even have to be with money, right? I think there's a whole ministry going through Searsport of letting people in. You're driving down the street, right? You're getting down through Searsport. We have a selectman here. Complain. It's horrible to try to get out. Right? They don't, you know, there's something against, they don't want you to head to Stockton. Right? Go out, told you can't turn left. You're stuck there. Right? Until, I don't know, either someone has mercy on you or pedestrians. I was really tempted to send my daughter out and have her walk across the street because he had to stop. Then I can pull out and then get her back in the car. I don't know if that's legal or not. Right? How many of you guys have been stuck like that? No? No one? All right. Yeah, Martin drives a big cement truck. Yeah, you always, right? Hey, you know what? And everyone behind you will be mad. But that's their problem. Right? But just stop and let someone in. Show mercy on someone. You know, you ever been at the cash register and someone's fishing through and they, you know, last minute looking for the last bit of change and say, you know what, here, take this. Right? Simple kindness is to people that you don't know. I tell you, it has an impact. The last thing, we'll wrap up with this. Anticipate serving. And what I mean by that, wake up. And I'm going to challenge you really between now and Easter. That's only a couple of weeks. Wake up every day and say, okay, Lord, how can I serve someone today? Start off your day with a prayer like that. And then wait for it. Right? Okay, Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to serve, right? So I think this is a simple prayer because I think it's what He wants. So each day, wake up and say, okay, Lord, give me someone to serve today. And then wait for it. What's my opportunity? Right? And I think that what it does is changes our awareness because as we're going down, all of a sudden you're like, okay, is this it? Is this the one I'm supposed to do? Oh, all right, here's my opportunity. And you never know what's going to happen. Right? You never know what's going to happen. We were in Bible school. And the school we were at was in a small little town. And the school we were at was pretty strict. And so it's like this, okay, Lord, send me someone to serve. And I was in a grocery store, this small little corner store right in town, just a few blocks away from the school. Everyone went there. And there was this lady, and she was up at the counter, and she was, you know, she had like five kids all running around her, all these little ones. And she had bags of groceries, and the cash register just kept resting. She was like all these bags on the counter, and she's wrestling through. And I was like, okay, Lord, this is it. This is my person. I'm supposed to serve her. All right. So I was waiting, and she's going through, and she, you know, I said, hey, ma'am, can I help you? And the look on her face was like, yes, please. And she gave one of the kids one of the little bags, and she gave this one a bag, and she scooped up three bags in her arms and walked out. And there on the register was 2 24 packs of beer. And she's off. And I'm like, okay, Lord. So I grabbed a hold of him, and I'm walking out. And she's like 20 feet ahead of me. So here I am walking out of the store, right? I'm just like, hey, Lord, I'm serving you, but please don't let the president of the school drive by. I was like, okay, Lord, right? And so I'm walking out here, and I'm like, okay, where is she? And so I was like, here you go, man. And so I put him in her car, and she was just like, well, thank you. Hey, can I give you something for her? I said, no, God bless you. You know? And no one saw it, so God kept me under the radar. I had some splaining to do, Lucy, you know? And turn around, and I was like, okay. Don't miss it. You know, Jesus started off this whole thing saying, hey, I'm going down to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. I'm serving my Father, and I'm doing this for you. I'm serving. In this journey towards the cross, as we come in towards Easter, the resurrection on the other side of the cross, as we do all these things, say, Lord, I want to get it. Give me an attitude of servitude. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, humble my heart. Lord, I get so concerned over me and what I want and my desires and who's going to take care of number one. Lord, I need to realize that you're the number one in my life. And Lord, help me to serve you and put you first. And Lord, in there, I know you to serve you, I need to serve others. Give us an opportunity to prepare our hearts for service for you. Lord, we ask this here. Amen. Amen. I should please stand. We're going to sing. This is 669 in your hymnals.